But he's saying that every week. So, and they're all my favorite scriptures. And if you didn't see me, I turned off my stupid phone. Instead of smartphones or stupid phones, because they keep you distracted from the true world. And so, if you don't mind, turn yours off too. So, or unless you want me to answer your phone for you. And so, last week, again, I apologized to the men last night, but I need to apologize to the congregation, our midweek congregation. Last week, I did not spend proper time studying and in prayer, and I did teach the first chapter of Ephesians. A lot of folks heard it, so it was great, good teaching. I feel that I didn't do my part. I mean, did I read the scripture? Did we talk about it? Absolutely. But as a good person, not that I'm a good person, but as anyone who is preparing to serve something to somebody else, it's always best if you spend the time to make the preparation right. Amen? So let's see if we got preparation H for tonight. That's holy, sorry. For today, I spent more time in prayer and going over the scriptures today than I did last week for this. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, well, let's back up a little bit to chapter 1, because he gives us some promises there that it says in verse 20 of chapter 1, he which wrought us in Christ, worked us in Christ, he hath raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So God the Father, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Now he's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's good news right there. He's far above all principalities. I like that about God. All the principalities, all the things that are going on, he's above it. He is absolutely in control. There's nothing happening here on this earth that he has not given the okay for. And it is well with my soul. All right? And that song we just sang, remember that. He's far above all the principalities and powers and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. So even in the future, in the kingdom of God, he is still above all of the kingdoms, all of the principalities from here into eternities, into all of eternity. He's still in control. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here we got some descriptions of Jesus Christ, who he is, his authority, what he has power over. And we as the ecclesia, as the church, we are to be his body, the fullness of him. The church is supposed to be the fullness of Christ on the earth right now. Because Jesus, he's at the right hand of the Father. And he left us here to be the ambassadors of Christ. He left us here to be his hands, his feet, his mouth, his heart, his love, his judgment, all right, from what's right and what's not right. The plumb line of holiness and unholiness, that's what the church is supposed to do. When the world that's full of darkness sees us, they ought to see something different. They really should. We should not be like the world. We are in the world, and we're not of this world. God has given us a right, a standing in him. And that's, we are the fullness of him. That the fullness that filleth all in all. I like that. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he fills you completely and totally. All in all. In this world right now, in the world yet to come. Praise God for that. Amen. And as we get into the new scripture tonight, chapter 2, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your love, for your grace. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the ability to come and to read and to study and to understand with our little bitty minds the greatness of God, Lord, as best we can. And Father, just like those little baby chicks in a bird's nest, we're all gathered together with our mouths wide open to you, Father, needing the nourishment that only comes from the throne room of God. And so, Father, I pray that you would feed your people tonight. Lord, that we would hear your word, that you would fill us with your holiness, your goodness, your love, your compassion, and give us the courage, the intestinal fortitude to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord in this our time. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And then the good news starts all over again in chapter 2 and verse 1. And you, hey, guess what? Yous guys, we, us, he has quickened. He has quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin. That quickened means made alive. It doesn't mean you run faster, all right? But you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were his enemy. You hated things about God. All you really wanted is the things of your own flesh, right? And you were dead to him. You were the enemy of God. There are several places in Scripture that talks about that. Before you accepted him, before he called you, before he showed you his great love, and he manifested his mercy on you, you hated him. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I love God. I love God. Well, if you look at your actions, did you really love him? Right? You can say that you love something, you don't spend no time with it, do you really love it? You say, I care about something, but you don't put any effort into that relationship, did you really care about it? I talk to a lot of people who call themselves Christian. I love the Lord, but I live like hell. Right? I love the Lord, but I'm cussing, kicking the dog, screaming, drinking like a mad person. I'm shooting up heroin. Boy, I love the Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just don't. You know, and I'm not picking on their sin. I'm saying that they're caught in the snares of the sin. But he quickened you. He made you alive. Because we were all like that. We were all sinners separated from God until that day that God called you by name. And you heard that name, that voice calling you and saying, I love you, Steph. In the midst of your mess, I love you. I know what you did. I know what you're going to do. I love you anyhow. And that drew you. You were drawn by the cords of love from the depths of hell, from the snares of Satan, from the addictions of this world, from the addictions of your own flesh.
That's right.
Just doing what you want to do. And God says, listen, let me set you free from those things that so easily ensnare you, that you can come out from the darkness and rest in the unveiling of light. Amen? And how good it is to be under the shadow of the Son of God. Amen? And when the nighttime comes, he is your light. When the heat of the day comes, he's your shade. When the enemy comes in, he is your shield. When you need your pants held up, he's your buckler. Amen? That's what he told Abraham. I will be your shield, your great shield, and your buckler. I will be everything that you need. Turn away from the kings of the world and lean into me. Trust me, Abraham. Trust me, church. Walk in the righteousness that I have for you, and I will protect you. Forsake ye not the assembly of one to another as you see the day approaching. That's why it's most important that we come together now. Because we need the envelopment of the Spirit of God, the envelopment of the truth of God, and as our faith grows while we walk in obedience to God. You know, and glory to God for this. I was going to say knock on wood, but I don't believe that unless you're trying to get in the door. Right? That's the only reason you need to knock on the wood is if you're trying to get inside the house. God says, if you trust me, if you follow me, I will protect you. Amen. Since this whole COVID-19 thing came and we prayed, we asked God, we kept our doors open, not a soul in this church has been sick.
None.
Not a soul has been sick in this body of Christ. Amen? And so I'm giving all that to God. You know, that's he sheltered us in the wings of his might, of his word, of his truth. Man, if nobody's wore a mask, someone comes in with a mask, I might shoot you. You look like a robber to me. No, I'm going to shoot you. That sounds a lot worse. I got a rubber band up here. And so, but yeah, you look at that. And he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And you were. Before you knew Jesus, you didn't even know what life was about. You may have been alive, breathing, your heart's beating, all of your bodily functions are working, but you didn't know what life was until Jesus came into your life. And all of a sudden, the colors got brighter, the air got fresher, the burdens got lighter, right? And the love expanded. It was like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Remember when he decided to give it back, right? All the little Who's and Whoville, they were, Dome, Dorus, Dome. Right, and they were all singing that stuff. How do you like that? And so, it was from the back space of my mind. And so anyhow, and he heard them worshiping. I don't know what that means, but I will say, they're saying, Lord Christ, Jesus, Savior, Savior. Right, that's what I put in their mouth, because I don't speak that little language. But anyhow, so they were singing, and the Grinch heard that, and his heart grew like three times as big, and he was able to do so much more. When God saw us in our emptiness, and he loved us in the midst of that, our heart started to expand. Our heart, we were able to love the unlovely. We were able to care about the things we really didn't care about before. We had a special dose, a special compassion because of the Spirit of God indwelling us and changing our inside to look like his outside, right? That's what the church is about. And he quickened you, and you were dead. He made you alive because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And he says in verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wow, look at what Paul said to the church right there. And what he's saying to us right now. Before we knew Christ, we could not help ourselves. We walked in the course, in the natural occurrence of the world system, right? The prince of the power of the air, Lucifer himself. We walked in obedience, in lockstep with evil, with unrighteousness, with ungodliness, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and not walking in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. That was our nature. But God, when he saw you there, when he saw you, we used to be that way. That spirit that now still works in the children of disobedience. I, as it's coming to my head right now, think of that. Remember who you used to be, right, before you knew Christ. And think about your neighbor who's caught in the snare of Lucifer today. You were there not long ago. I don't know when you got born again, but before you got born again, you were identical to them. There was no difference. You were lost. You were caught in the snare of Satan. The homosexual, the drug addict, the sex slave, whatever. You were there with them. But God, right? What's going to change their heart? God. The same God that changed your heart. The same one, and he's going to reach them the very same way that he reached you. Maybe different circumstances, but it's the same God exposing the same sin, calling you out of that darkness and into the power of the light. Because before we knew that, we walked in the course of our nature, the course of our flesh, the course of the prince of this world, which is Satan. And I know a lot of people that I love that are still walking in that course. And you know what? I can't stop them. It's not my job. So what does the Christian do? Pray. Amen. Because I've already said it starts with a P and ends in an A. Yeah. You know, you pray. You pray. You seek the Lord. You ask God for that soul every day until that soul gets released. You know, and God's, when you start praying for them, God starts working on them. But they might really be trapped in the darkness and not even want to look at the light for a long time. But you keep praying, and they keep sinning, they keep going further away. You keep praying, right? You keep praying, you keep lifting them up. And sooner or later, they will see the light and come out of the darkness. Or they won't. All right? Because not everybody gets saved. But that doesn't mean that we don't keep praying for them. It doesn't mean that we don't keep loving them. It doesn't mean that we don't keep giving what God has given to us to those who are caught in the snare that you were caught in. before you got saved. Right? He quickened you. He made you. Now, there's still, and that same spirit that had you is still working in those children of disobedience. I like it that he says that they're, that is the children of disobedience, because God is seeking to save the world. Jesus, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ. He sent him to be the propitiation, the covering of our sin, to take on the sin of the world, that we might have a way back to the Most High God. That's why he came. That's what he did. But because of the hard-heartedness of man, because they love their sin, they love the darkness more than they love the light. They're disobedient. That means God's calling them. God's reaching out and calling your neighbor. He's calling your brother. He's calling your loved ones. And they are seeing the light of God in you, which makes them mad at you. You know? You ever try to wake up a teenager? Amen. Mm-hmm. You have, right? And when you turn on the light in the morning, they are so kind and loving. Thank you, Mommy, Daddy, for waking me up at 5 in the morning. I pray, oh, thank you. You're so... No, is that how it works?
Get away from me!
They're throwing a pillow at you, you know? And the same thing happens in human lives, right? They're so comfortable in the dark. They're so wrapped up in their sin. They're warm and they're snuggled there, right? And then the light comes on, flicks up 120 watts in their eyes. Ah! Right? They're screaming. They're covering their face. They're running away from it. They're just being disobedient. They are the children of disobedience. But God keeps calling them, keeps reaching out to them, keeps loving them, keeps doing the things that God does until they either do or don't come to the light. There's a time that the obedience... Now, I don't know. I don't know why some folks don't get saved. I guess it's just rebellion, the hardness of their heart. Because God calls every human being. Every one of them. Nobody's ever going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment and say, "Oh, Lord, you didn't call me. You didn't call my name out. If you would have called my name out, I would have answered." And then God's going to take that... I have this picture in my mind on the day of judgment, because you get judged by every word that's, every thought that's ever gone through your mind. And so he takes that computer cable and he shows it in your ear and starts shining out your eyes. Right? So you become like a, become like a projector, right? I don't see. And the big screen, and this is your life, right? And so he all of these thoughts, all of these things are thrown up on the board. Now, if you're saved, you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All the things that are not glorifying to God are covered with this red film, the blood of Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Mm-hmm. Right? And have y'all ever done that? You get that secret card number from the bank, right? Or from the car. It really happens with car companies now, right? They're selling a car, and so you get an envelope, and it has a red shield over it, and the numbers behind it. So when you look at it, you can't see the number, but you pull it out, you see the number, right? Yeah. Same thing happens. Your sin looks like this, but when it's brought behind the blood, you don't see it no more. All right, now if you don't have that blood in front of you, that sin stays right there. You can't get rid of it. You're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in that, on that day of judgment, all of our things that we did that did not glorify him, that were covered by the blood, are seen no more. Not that they didn't happen, they're just not recognized. Now, if you're not covered by the blood, all of that shows up, you know, in living color, right? And so, and there is no blood to cover it. And so you stand before God on that day with that recording, with your own works trying to justify all the sin that you did. And you can't do it. You might stand there and say, "Well, God, you never called me." But that show that's going to go on, he says, "Look, I called you when you were 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old." 7 years old, I called you like 17 times in a day, right? And then 17, 20, 25, 30, 50, ever how. And every day you're going to find out that God called you in some certain way. So those who will stand before God and say, "Well, you never called me." Liar, liar, pants on fire, right? Because you're going to be cast out. You were called, and you chose not to go. You you hardened your heart to the call of God. But God so loved you that he kept calling you every day. And so in that, those are the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifetime, our lifestyle, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. My two favorite words in the whole Bible, but God. Amen. Every time I see those words put together, it makes my spirit scream out, hallelujah. You know, because that was me in times past. My lifestyle, my conversation was all about the lust of the flesh. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But God, you know, I had my mind wrapped around the ungodly things. But God, I was a child of the wrath of God. I was an enemy against God. He was fighting against me. But God so loved me, even though I was that dirty, rotten scoundrel, worthless before man and God, he loved me and called me out from that darkness. Your neighbor that doesn't like you, your neighbor that hates you, your brother, your children, whatever, that don't understand the gospel, God loves them the same way, even though they're still following the lust of the flesh, even though they still desire the lust of the mind, even though they're still the children of the nature of wrath, even as the other people, God still loves them. And you know what's really neat? He put you in the middle of their life to shine that light in their eyes, even when they don't like it. To love them, to show compassion to them, but to never back down from the truth of God's word. Never back down. I mean, there's no worries about your people who are caught in the snares of sin, drugs, alcohol, whatever. You look at that. God's able to break through. God is able to break through those bonds. He is able to break those chains that so easily bind those people up. And he put you in their life on purpose. And you'll scream out, God, it's uncomfortable. God doesn't say, hey, it was easy. It was really uncomfortable for Jesus the day of the cross. You know, I'm sure he didn't say, wow, give me another one. You know, the three nails ain't enough. I need another one. No, it hurt. It was painful. He prayed three times. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup of torture, let this pass. If there's any other way besides me going to the cross, let that be it. But nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We have those people that are caught in the snares of Satan, and it kills us to see them like that. It killed Jesus to see us like that. Right? So he tells us to be his hands, his feet, and he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Amen. He is rich in mercy. Listen, Don, if he can love you, he can love anyone, right? Amen? If he can love me, he can love anyone. If he could call me out of the darkness, out of the depths of my sinful life, he can call anyone out, right? It's his mercy, it's his rich mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us. Even when we were dead in our sin and in sin, it doesn't say our, in sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Amen? You cannot work it on your own. You cannot do it. I could not get out of the snares of alcoholism and drug abuse on my own. I tried. I did everything I could do to get out of that. The 12-step program didn't work. Alcohol's Anonymous, it just made me drink all the more. You know, all that stuff, it never worked. The 12 steps didn't work. One step to Christ, and he cleansed me. Amen? He touched me. He changed me. He gave me a new heart. And if he can do that with me, folks, he can do that with anybody. You need to be willing. You need to be humble. You need to have a contrite heart. You need to understand that you cannot save yourself. your neighbor needs to understand they cannot save themselves. The drug addict, the prostitute, the prideful governmental leader needs to realize that they cannot save themselves. It takes the perfect sacrifice. It's by the mercies of God. It's through the grace of God that you're saved. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, as we'll see in a moment. And God hath raised us up together that and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. Those two verses right there, why were you saved? That God could show you off. Amen. I found this diamond in the rough, right? I found this old lump of coal, wasn't worth anything, wasn't even worth throwing in the fire and burning it for the heat in your house. That's who you were. And God saw you. He said, I'm going to take something, I'm going to make something out of that. I'm going to put it under the pressure of my hand. I'm going to give him the grace and the mercy of the Most High God. And I'm going to form him into something of value. And then in the ages to come, when we're in the presence of the Most High God, he's going to say, look at that animated dirt ball over there. That wretched guy. I saved him. He heard my voice. I called him out of the darkness into the light. He is my crown. He is the glory. He's living proof that God reaches into the heart of man and shows compassion to his creation. That's what God did for him. What a great thought. That he saved you this so he can, you're show and tell. Y'all remember that going to school and show and tell? I don't think they do that anymore. And so, pardon?
What? And I said the glory of God.
Yeah, the glory of God, right, absolutely. You know, but we used to bring things into school. Oh, look at my pretty this. No, show and tell, right? And so we'll be standing in the gates of heaven someday. We'll be in the very high place of God. And he's going to be show and tell. Oh, look at this Stephanie. Oh, man, I got her. She's, oh, my. Praise God. He was a tough one. But we got the rough things knocked out of him. You know? Yes.
Something to think about that God would rejoice.
Yes.
He himself
is going to rejoice that we are able to be with him.
I mean, that's
that is fantastic to wrap your mind around. So what will we not give up that we might gain that? Right? Is there anything on this earth that you wouldn't suffer that you might gain that moment, that time, that we could be the rejoicing of the Most High God? That we could be the example that in the ages to come, verse 7, that God, he, Jesus, might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Right? Again, he loves you so much that he sent God to be named Jesus, Christ, his station, right? Jesus was his name. There are a lot of kids named Jesus and still are. Jesus, right? Still a lot of kids named Jesus, but there is only one Christ, only one Messiah, right? And this Jesus, he was God manifested in the flesh. He is the Christ. He is the one who was the only one able to pay the perfect price for the imperfect man. That he might, in the ages to come, show you off. You know, to show you off. I think because he loves you so much. That is just, boosh. Really, that's brain matter all over the inside of my head. And just when you try to wrap your mind around that. Because I know how wicked I still am, and I know how wicked I used to be. Because I was a lot worse then than I am now. But now that I've got a glimpse of glory, I realize I'm nowhere where I need to be yet. But someday, by the grace of God, through the faith in Jesus Christ, this sinner will put on sinlessness. Sin will be done away with. All, man, I can't imagine waking up one morning without sin.
Amen.
Without the binding on me. What a great thing to tell people about, right? That's what God is telling. That's why he wrote this to us. He says in verse 8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now look carefully at the way that this was worded. Look carefully at the way that this was put down in so that we could wrap our mind around it. All right, remember it was the grace you were saved by grace. And then through faith. So God gives you your grace, but you got to believe it enough to walk in it, right? Faith always has action. It really does. So you can say that you have faith. I have faith that I have the ability to climb that hill. But if you never put on your walking boots and climb that hill, I don't care what kind of faith you got, you never proved it. Right? You never said, yeah, you said you had faith, but you never did anything in your faith. You say that you got faith, that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but you're too afraid to come to church. All right? You say that you have faith that God is a healer, but you wear a mask wherever you go. Right? You say that you have faith that God is sovereign, but you're afraid to die. You say that you have faith that you're getting to heaven, but you don't want to lose anything before you go there. You say you have faith that God is able to raise you up on the last day, that he has that power, but you're afraid to give anything for the lost today. You're afraid to suffer, that you might gain the glory of Christ. All right? So where is your faith, right? Where is the faith? Where is the church? In this day and time that we're living in, where is the church? They're cowering in corners. They're hiding behind masks. They're spraying themselves with Lysol like Listerine. You know? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Well, how are you going to get to heaven if you don't die? Right? It's crazy the way that church people are thinking today. You know? I want to go to heaven. But I want to live all the way there. No. No one gets to heaven without dying. Everyone. And does the church really believe in the sovereignty of God? Now, we're saying yeah, but we're here without masks. All right? Now, think of the church in America as a whole. How many churches today are saying only the odd number of people can come, they've got to sit 27 feet apart, wear double mask and rubber gloves? Right? All right. All that garbage that they're saying, I showed to my grandsons, they're here today. I said, the only thing, what they're going to probably have to do for the reopening schools is true chem suits, hazmat suits. Okay? So everybody dresses in the heavy plastic hazmat suit and has the breathing apparatus that comes. Because that's the only way you're going to be safe. Until you run out of air, then you choke to death in your hazmat suit. Right? That's the only thing. And so they're saying that they're going to, well, we're going to spray Lysol over everything in a whole school. You'll be safe. No, you won't. If God's sovereign, guess what? You're going to die in your hazmat suit. On the day you're not going to live 1 second longer than what it was appointed. It was appointed. Once to die. And then comes the judgment. Appointed, that means that everybody has a born-on date and a left-by, a spoiled date. You know? Everybody has a death date. Everyone does. Does the church believe that? Well, I believe that if I don't do this, somebody might die. Are you calling yourself God? Right? Are you God? God appointed that day. And did he know before the world was ever set into motion, that the COVID-19 was going to come and some people were going to die from it? Absolutely. Did he know those people by name before they were born? Absolutely. And the Christian, do you really have faith that it's talking about here? All right, you were saved by grace, but where is your faith?
You were saved by the grace of God. He called you out of darkness. He gave you light. He cleansed you from your unrighteousness. He filled you with His Spirit. And now you're afraid to go out in public. Now you're afraid to stand on the street corner and say, I trust God. You're afraid to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, you're a coward. Right? We're afraid to say that. No, well, some ain't, but they get you in trouble. No? And then we bow down to that. You know, you stand up to your pastor and you say, Pastor, I really want you to open the church. And he says, no. And then you go back to that church anyhow. What's up with that? I mean, really, I understand you say, I got responsibilities there. Who's in charge? You or God? All right. So suck it up, buttercup. Right? You see what I'm saying? You know, do we really have that kind of faith? Yeah. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gave you the gift of your next breath. He gives you the gift of the next opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. He gives you the grace to know that you, when you leave this life, you got a place with Him. Right? Amen. Jesus said, I went to prepare you a place. That means He knew you were coming. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake. He baked the cake, right? He's got it for you. There's a place prepared for you. But you've got to die first, right? You've got to trust Him enough to walk by faith and not by sight because of His grace. And, all right, you get the COVID and you don't die. Then what?
Quarantine.
Then Professor Cuomo tells you can't go see your relatives. Who do we fear? Darius or God? Who are we fearing? Nebuchadnezzar or the Most High God? Who are we kneeling our will to? The king of this world or the king of the world to come? Right? We got to get some backbone, church. We got to get some faith going here. We say it with our mouth. I'm saved by faith through grace. Oh, praise God. I'm saved by grace through faith. You know? Yeah, God saved me, and I believe that He saved me. But will He defend you through the lion's den? Will He walk with you through that fiery furnace? Well, wait a second. Nobody said I'm supposed to walk through a fiery furnace. I was told I say the prayer, I trust Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, bah! I'm shielded. Nothing ever bad will happen to me. Right? That is a doctrine of the devil. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus said, if you represent me, expect to be hated and persecuted. It doesn't say, hey, you know, you trust me, and that's all ice cream and sugar coated candy now. It's all unicorns and rainbows. It's all good. It's just so good. God loves you. It's just now, don't get me wrong. Heaven is good and is worth dying for. But we must walk by faith and not by sight. Sight tells me to be scared to put on a hazmat suit to go outside. Can't go to the tractor supply anymore because I refuse to wear a mask. And that Nazi mask gave her out the front door. I don't know her name, but if I did, I'd call it out. Anyhow. Take it, blow my nose on it, hand it back to her. Anyhow, see, that's the flesh in me, I'm sorry. And that's how I get about that kind of stuff. But anyhow, masked Nazi, I like that. Anyhow, we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's not of our good works. You know you cannot work your way to heaven. The witnesses, they believe if they knock on enough doors, they'll be one of the 144,000 if you get to the right place. The Mormons believe if you do enough good works, you get to wear that holy underwear. You know that they have holy underwear. And I'm not picking on them. It's their belief system that they get good enough, they're going to wear holy underwear, and one day they're going to be a god unto themselves and have a whole world that they can control. Right? Stop. That's not what the Bible says. Right? And so, that holy underwear still has streaks on the end of a sweaty day. Stop. Yeah. Please forgive me.
Okay, now it's not of your works that saves you. You cannot be good enough. If we could even be half as good as Paul. Now, Paul was a righteous and a holy man, Saul of Tarsus. That's the guy I'm talking about. He was way gooder than what you could be. He was holy in the law. He was righteous. There was no flaw found in him in the law. And when he understood how good God was, when he understood what real righteousness was, when he understood the love of Jesus for a man like him, he said, all of my righteousness is like filthy rags. It's like menstrual cloths. It's pretty nasty. Right? All of your goodness, everything, that's what it was compared to the righteousness of God. See, your good work, because he did good works up until, even when he was persecuting the church, he thought he was doing the right thing. He really did. He thought he was standing for the Old Testament. He thought that Jesus was an apostate to the Hebrew religion. And so he had to do what he had to do to snuff it out until he met Christ. See, he was caught in the snare of Satan. He was caught in his religion. He was caught in his personal righteousness and not the righteousness of God. But when God sees you, he knocks you off your high horse. That's exactly what he did to Paul. Saul changed the name of Paul.
Look, yeah, I think that's why it says that his heart kicked against the bricks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think he knew.
Yeah.
There was something going on.
He knew it. Because like you said,
he knew the scriptures. You know,
yeah. You should have known that. And so the Holy Spirit was trying to drive him like an ox, you know, and on the yoke. They have two sharp sticks that pull back into the ox. And so if the farmer wants the ox to turn one way or the other way, he pulls on that yoke and it jobs into the ox and he turns that way. Right? And then Jesus said to Paul or Saul back then, he said, hey, isn't it hard to fight against me? Isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? You know, this has been hurting you for a while. Isn't it uncomfortable enough?
I think he knew some truth.
He did.
Yeah,
he knew the scriptures. That's why he had to go away to the backside of Arabia for 3 years to restudy the Word of God through the vision of Christ. See, by grace he was saved, not of works. By grace, the grace of God. And when he understood the grace of God, that faith took root in his life. I believe many folks who go to churches today understand or cling on, not like Star Trek. They grab a hold to the grace of God, but they don't want what it takes to build the faith in God. Right? They don't want to truly submit their lives to the wholeness of who Jesus is. What do you do with that? It's very personal what you do with that. Ain't none of my business. But if you really believe God is the God of the Bible, that he's sovereign, he is absolutely in charge, why are we so worried about the things in this world? Why are we worried about who's going to be president next? You know? Why are we worried about the Antichrist coming? Jesus said he was coming. He said, hey, you'll know it when it comes. Folks, I know it. He is here. Alright? He's here. Now, I don't know what his name is. I don't know what he looks like. I'm sure he looks really, really good, though. So, anyhow, but that's a different sermon. You're saved. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I really like that. That you can't stand before God and say, but Lord, wasn't I good enough? I mean, look at my works. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? He said, but you who do the works of the Father. And they said, Lord, have we not prophesied? Didn't we do a lot of good works? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that in your name? And he says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They thought they were saved because of their good works. They thought they were saved because they earned holy underwear. They thought they were saved because they were good Hebrew children. They thought they were saved because they were of the seed of Abraham. They thought that they were saved because they got baptized. They thought that they were saved because they paid their tithes and they came to church 3 times a week. They thought they were saved but they never surrendered to Christ. Thus, they were never saved. The grace was there, the faith was not. Show me your works, your faith without works. I will show you my faith by my works, is what James says.
It's going to get a lot worse.
Amen. It's going to get a lot worse. The deception is real. It says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wow. Does that mean that we're supposed to do something? Doesn't it? Well, what's it say, right? You are created in Christ unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them, the good works. Right? That's what he's talking about. That a Christian should not be doing the things of the world. You shouldn't be. I mean, I'm not talking about stumbling and, you know, doing some sin. I mean, supporting the things of darkness, supporting the things of unrighteousness, supporting abortion. A Christian should not support abortion. The gay and lesbian movement. A Christian should not support that because it's against God's word. This life matters or that life matters. I'm getting signs made up. How many? I don't know how many to make up. All, no, not all lives. Eternal life. Eternal life matters. Every other life doesn't matter. God doesn't care what your pigment is. Right? It's eternal life that matters. That because all other lives are going to die. Nothing else matters except eternal life. Black lives don't matter. White lives don't matter. Red lives don't matter. Yellow lives don't matter. God doesn't care. He is no respecter of humans, right? Amen. No respecter of persons. If you're a human being, God doesn't care about your pigment, your hair color, your height, your wealth, your poorness, your poverty. He doesn't care about none of that stuff. Question is are you born again? Eternal life matters. No other life. See, and in that, it's 8 o'clock. I love you. We're going to pump the brakes, right? I preached really long Sunday. I'm not going to do that. I know a lot of y'all say, yeah, let's do it anyhow. Let's go. No. We're gonna stop here at verse 11, all right? And we'll come back and we'll pick up this next Wednesday. And if y'all have a friend, which you may not because you're Christian, if you have a friend, tell them to come to church. Tell them they don't have to be masked. Tell them that we're going to love them, we're going to shake hands, we're going to hug necks, we're going to share germs. All right? We're going to trust God, right? And we're going to move forward. So bring a friend. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just give His, ask His grace and His blessings on this. Father, we do love you. Lord God, we praise you for your word. I praise, Lord God, that you are God and I am not. Amen. I thank you so much for that. But even in that understanding, I have faith that I am seated in the throne room with Christ even now. Lord, and because of that, I want to do those things that please you. Father, I pray that you would move mighty over your people, your church. Father, that you would strengthen them in this time. That you would help us walk in faith and hold on to the goodness and the riches that you have for us. Fill us, Father, fresh, new with your Spirit. Ignite the fire that once burned bright in our heart, Lord. Move over us. Holy Spirit, I pray for that wind. Father, send that rushing, mighty wind into our lives in such a way that it would ignite those embers that still remain. And we would once again be on fire because of your grace. And that we would have faith goes way beyond our sight. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.